97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC's School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, robot umpires in baseball. Our guest, Dan Zimborski, ESPN baseball analyst, a member of the Society for American Baseball Research, and an expert in the field of baseball statistics. Okay, full disclosure, Dan, we're not really talking about robots per se, but we're talking about automated strike zones. So how does that differ from what we're already accustomed to when we're watching baseball on TV and we see the outline of the plate and where the pitch landed? Are we talking the same type of technology?
It's similar technology. Baseball has actually implemented several methods over the last 20 years of tracking pitchers in baseball. Originally, it was Questec, which was a very simple system relative to what we have today. Today, baseball uses the TrackMan radar for their StatCast, which gives them about 7 terabytes of data for each baseball game, which is quite a bit. We're at home. We've been getting used to seeing technology in the game, and this is the logical next step.
Okay, so we know that you were a math major at Loyola in Baltimore, and most of us were not math majors, but for those of us who are still somewhat numbers nerds, why is this important? Why do we need automated strike zones?
Well, generally, one of the basics of any kind of game is that the rules are consistent for each player of the game. And this is one of the easier things to implement, simply because we're just looking about where a pitch is. There's still a lot for an umpire to do, but the general fairness is a crucial part of baseball and any game. And it didn't kill tennis, which has been using electronic information for quite a long time at this point.
All right, so in tennis, let's use that as an example. You can challenge a call, and the technology will tell you, well, the serve was actually in when it was called out. But what you're proposing is something that would feed information to the home plate umpire on every single pitch. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what I would propose is the best solution. There's still a lot of judgment calls for an umpire to make. People act like that the strike ball location is the primary job of the umpiring crew. Now, it's a big part of the home plate umpire's job, but it's also the part that uses the least bit of discretion from an umpire. There's still decisions to be made if the batter had a check swing, various things about foul tips, and, you know, there's a lot of information out there, and I think that giving umpires this information might actually make their job easier to an extent.
All right, well, let's talk about the area that some people call the river between the plate and the batter's box. I suppose you can, you know, set up the technology to account for the river, but what about when you have two outstanding pitchers and they make their living on putting the ball in the river?
Well, baseball has always been a game of adjustment. If you map the called strike zone, the strike zone has shifted quite a bit over the years, and pitchers have adjusted to that. For instance, in the last 10 years, the strikes that have been called have been a few inches lower than they ever were before, about a whole baseball width below the knee. We've had strikes when they were up at the armpit, strikes when they were at the letters. There's been a great deal of variation in the strike zone. What I'm proposing here is that baseball uses the technology they already have in place to make it a consistent strike zone, because that's what fairness is about, and you want everybody to be treated the same.
All right, so I guess part of it would come down to agreeing what the strike zone is. If you're calling middle school softball, you want a pretty broad strike zone, as opposed to broad and deep, as opposed to maybe pro baseball.
Oh, absolutely. You don't necessarily want to have the strictest strike zone when you're talking, you know, more of an amateur level or even colleges and high schools. But MLB, that is supposed to be the peak level of baseball, the highest level of play anywhere in the world. And I think when you're at that level, it's really important to get the calls right.
All right. Well, the rule book defines what the strike zone is. So why do different umpires have different strike zones?
Well, some of it is cultural, and the strike zones for umpires have actually varied based on the count. And if each umpire, say, had their own unique strike zone and it was consistent, at least then players playing that specific game have something to go by. But when we track the evidence of pitch location, strike zones can vary through the game. Strike zones can vary simply by count and different players within that game can get different strike zones. If a pitcher is getting a call a couple inches to the left or the right that another pitcher isn't getting in the same game, that is a serious competitive issue.
Okay, having done some umpiring, I will admit that the strike zone does vary by pitch, by count. 3-0, you're going to be a little more lenient than you would be at 3-2, but doesn't that keep the game pacing a little faster by doing that?
It does, but when it's an arbitrary thing, it's difficult for players to go by that because every umpire has their own ideas, and so not only would a player be trying to go by an umpire's individual strike zone, they'd also have to be going almost by the umpire's cultural view, and that's a tricky thing. I think that umpires do have ways to keep the game moving, but I don't think that pitch location is the best place to do that.
Okay, so not only, I think, do umpires adjust by the ball and strike count, but they adjust by how that pitcher is doing that day. Not so much the reputation of the pitcher, though I think that does sometimes come into play, but how if the pitcher is struggling, the human tendency is that pitcher doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. If that pitcher is pinpoint, maybe that pitcher does get the benefit of the doubt. And do we take away benefit of the doubt when we go to automated strike zones?
Well, I think the whole concept of it is there really isn't a doubt. A pitch is at a specific location, and I think that unless the rule book is going to say some of these things like, oh, we'll trust this pitcher, he's pitching well, I think that there shouldn't be a doubt for this thing. I think doubt is for decisions where umpires have more discretion about. But I think that the pitch location in baseball, that's the most concrete, objective part of the game, essentially.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Dan Zimborski about automated strike zones in baseball, particularly at the MLB level. Although, Dan, the way you argue it, it seems that the technology exists that colleges, even high schools, could adopt something like this.
They could, but technology always comes with a cost. And while it's important for Major League Baseball to get the strike zone as correct as possible, I'm not sure that it's the best expense for an educational institute to be spending money for strike zone evaluation in the same manner that MLB does. I think it's best to be pragmatic about it. You don't want little leagues having to spend money on Doppler radar when they could be, you know, spending it in much better ways.
And yet, you know, the half court timer in basketball, officials wear the little beeper on the side rather than try to count it off. No one can count an exact second, and the beeper goes off. So technology is part of officiating sports.
Yeah, technology has been a part of sports from the start. I mean, when we're talking about games that started in the 1850s, 1860s, there are going to be some technological advances that the creators did not envision at the time. But we all embrace sports technology, and the sports themselves embrace technology, and I think that what we're talking here is the logical next step.
All right, so help me envision this. Help our listeners paint a mental picture here. So if the home plate umpire is getting some sort of signal in his or her ear that a pitch was either a ball or a strike, it seems not even necessary for the umpire to be right behind the catcher.
Absolutely not. And that's also helpful as a safety issue because umpires have gotten injured. I wouldn't say quite frequently, but it has happened at times because an umpire is right there next to a rather hard sear that's going 90, 95 miles per hour. So things are going to happen, and getting the umpire a little out of the firing line might help a little bit in this regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wouldn't worry so much about safety as it's sometimes difficult to get out of the way of the catcher, for example, on a pop fly behind the plate or things like that. So I can see some benefit to this. However, on some of those other judgment calls, like a close play at the plate, you then have to run up to the spot. So I think there are some cons to it as well, depending on where you place the umpire.
Oh, I wouldn't necessarily say put the umpire 30 feet away off to the left, but he doesn't have to be, you know, right over the catcher's head. Which can cause some issues. But I think that when the ump is in a more defensive position, he can get a better view because once an umpire doesn't necessarily need to be focusing on exactly where the pitch is, they could be looking at other things that they may not have the same, you know, the same personal bandwidth to do. So hopefully, I mean, this is all an experiment. And I think it's a good idea to experiment if we can push things forward.
Okay, so you argue that, especially at the MLB level, where there is a lot of money, this is not a large expense. This is not some super-duper brand-new technology. We essentially carry around this level of technology every single day.
Yeah, and the thing is, baseball is already spending the money on this technology. The data exists. They're using it in broadcast. They're using it for StatCast. The amount of data that teams have and the league has about everything that goes on in the field is just immense. I mean, they know the spin on a pitcher's pitch. When we're just talking about where the ball is, that's almost archaic technology at this point.
And, you know, I want to go back to the graphic that comes up on the screen. It's not like this would slow the game down because that's almost instantaneous that they pop that up and show the pitch location.
Oh, it's quick. When baseball started with Questec, about 20 years ago is when the technology really got going. It was a slow process, and umpires didn't even know what Questec said until after the game when all the data was reviewed. But now it's an instantaneous process. You can send any kind of signal to the umpire, say by headset. There are a lot of different ways they could approach that, but it's an instantaneous thing at this point.
All right. So for the purist, and you know, there are those who would argue that, you know, you're taking the human element out of the game. Why not just have two teams of robots playing each other? what's the counter to that argument?
Well, I still think that the essence of the game is the players on the field, and umpires, to an extent, are the technology around that. I would say kind of like a symphony, the umpires are kind of the building technicians that keep the auditorium lit, and it's about the musicians. In baseball, it's about the players, and I think by making sure we get calls right, we're honoring the players and their humanity by making it player versus player, not player versus player with an umpire's belief into the mix. And, of course, there will still be umpires and a human element with a lot of decisions that, again, require significantly more discretion on the part of the umpire.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion about automated strike zones in baseball. So tell me a little bit more, Dan, about how this technology would work. Someone in a booth somewhere would actually say the words strike, ball, into the ear of the umpire who would then announce it to the players, or how do you see this working?
Well, the way I see it working is you really don't even need someone in the booth that's handling this. You can set up the computers that, personally, I would have a small headset for the umpire, maybe in one ear. It just makes a sound if it's a strike, or maybe a sound if it's not a strike. I mean, that obviously, you have to talk with the umpire to see what they would prefer for that, because you also want to make it easiest for them to implement this information. But really, it's a binary thing, and we just need to communicate it to the umpires. I know people have brought up sometimes the idea of having like a big red light or a big green light, but we don't have to get that showy. It can just be a simple thing. We don't need flags and all the kind of ceremonial things we have like with instant replay in sports. It can just be something simple, understated, to make the umpiring better.
What about just displaying it on the Jumbotron? I mean, everybody sort of looks that in that direction anyway. This ball is a strike.
Well, you could do that, but baseball is a traditionalist game, as we've discussed, and even though I want to make this change, I want to make it as seamless as possible. Maybe as you go on, that's the best solution, but you have to experiment, I think.
Mm-hmm. So have any umpires gotten in touch with you to say, you have gone off the rails?
No one's yelled at me yet. I know that there is some ambivalence about technology around the umpires, because anytime you're going to tell someone that the robots are taking your job, they're not going to be overly excited about it for obvious reasons. I mean, I work as a journalist, and I know that journalists don't like to think about like the AP-generated computer headlines. So it is a touchy issue. I haven't gotten any fights about it yet, so that's interesting.
All right, no fights, but how about traction? Anybody calling up and say, Dan, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard of. We absolutely should do this. Or where do you think MLB would come down on this?
I think MLB would be highly interested. It depends kind of, because MLB is a very large company, and MLB Advanced Media is the more progressive part of MLB that has implemented a lot of these things and has managed baseball's digital world, while the kind of MLB management you're talking about, owners and the commissioner, it's more of a traditionalist group. So when we envision this, it probably would take considerably more time in reality to implement this than 2016 and to get all the people on board for this, because you have to talk with the umpires union, you have to There's a lot of work to this, but for this series, we wanted to envision what baseball could be, not necessarily in the most practical, immediate way, but it's fun to just picture what could be.
Yeah, now this idea was actually part of a series, and will you explain that to our listeners?
We did a series on ESPN called Reimagining Baseball 2.0, and we did things like talking about nets for to protect fans from hit balls, the National League and the DH, various things. Each writer got to pick kind of one thing that caught our imagination. And for me, it's robots, because robots are cool. So even if we're not talking about killer robots from space, I am a fan of technology.
All right, so let's go back to the whole idea of technology taking over. You know, there's always that concern, regardless of, which area of work you happen to be in. But look at football. We have the yard to gain line that appears on the screen. And, you know, we know before the referees know whether it's a first down or not. So do you see, though, the reluctance to let technology take over, quote, quote?
I see the reluctance, but we already embrace technology in far more crucial things than deciding a baseball game or a football game. We still have pilots and planes, but computerized systems, when you're up there flying, they're making thousands of adjustments for turbulence and various factors. We trust them in that. We're going to have self-driving cars in the mainstream in the not-too-distant future. And that's something that's actually dangerous if a computer gets it wrong. Nobody could die because a ball is called a strike. That would be weird.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Dan Zimborski. Thanks also to engineer Dylan Field. And thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.